Chalk Chat Technorama for Thursday, December 1st, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroincabulator.
Welcome to Technorama show number 62. Tonight we'll be doing the entire show with Boolean logic. False! I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is my trusty steed, no, co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? We've got a lot of stuff in the show tonight. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a whole bunch more listener feedback. I like that stuff. You keep them coming. Email or voicemail or whatever you got. And we'll take
bring
it.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Yes, bring it.
We've also got our postponed interview with the post-Crescent photographer. He's the local newspaper guy who took the picture of me when I was in the local paper. And he was talking about digital cameras and things, so I got some audio of him. We've got a product review, Mac OS X Desktop Manager. My good old buddy Bob put me onto this, and I said, hey, I gotta check it out.
Hey.
Yeah.
This next one I've been waiting for all week.
And we've got a complete tutorial on RSS using interpretive dance. All right. It's going to be one of those shows, is it? Hang tight, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, white knuckle it.
On this day in tech history for December 1st, 2005. This is December 1st, it's the 335th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 30 days left in 2005. It was on this date in 1835 that Hans Christian Andersen publishes the first book of fairy tales. Although the exact date is unknown, it's suspected that on this date in 1885, the U.S. Patent Office acknowledges December 1st as the first day Dr. Pepper was served. And on this date in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduces the first moving assembly line. NASA announces on this date in 1987 the names of the four companies who were awarded contracts to help build Space Station Freedom. In 1990, sections of the Channel Tunnel that were started from the United Kingdom and France meet 40 meters beneath the seabed. And Exxon on this date in 1998 announces a $73.7 billion deal to buy Mobil, thus creating ExxonMobil, the world's largest company on the planet. Trans World Airlines flies its last flight on this date in 2001 after being bought by American Airlines. And a happy birthday goes out on this date in 1525 to Tadeusz Hayek, the Czech physician and astronomer. I hope I got that one right. And here comes another one. Happy birthday in 1580 to Nicolas Claude Fabry de Brees, the French astronomer. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for December 1st, 2005.
Hi, this is Eric Larson from Ericast.com. You might remember me from such sweeper lines as, "What kind of a guy?" and "You're listening to..." Well, when I'm not busy with my own dweeb thoughts, I'm listening to Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp on Chuck Chat Technorama, just like you are, right now.
On with the listener feedback.
Yeah, bring it on. Hey.
Yes?
This first one's from George Starcher. He's
The George Starcher?
The George Starcher. And George Starcher writes... Actually, he says he's in a hotel room, so he's using his laptop as speakers for his iPod.
Okay.
And the first thing he instant messages me and says is, "The insanity of Technorama playing through my iPod threw the line in on my PowerBook while building stations in this new building is keeping me sane."
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah. Usually we have the opposite effect on people, but cool.
It's good to know!
Yes.
Now we got some follow-up from Scott Reynolds. Yes, the Scott Reynolds, who sent us that short
the
but
Scott
sweet...
Reynolds?
Yeah, the Scott Reynolds. Mm. Of Scott Reynolds.
Of Scott Reynolds and Company?
He was the one who gave us that short but sweet little Apple script to do the iCal update event-driven Apple script. You know, iPod updater thing. I probably said more than it actually was. It was three lines of Apple script. But if you listen to last show, you'll know what I'm babbling on about.
Not you. Oh. Not you, the listener.
He writes, "I thought you might like this slightly more involved bit of Apple script. Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be a way to find out if Update All Podcasts has completed. Otherwise, I might put it in the same script. If you use this, make sure that you've given sufficient time for your podcast to download. Note, I haven't actually tested this."
Alphaware. Warning, Will Robinson. Warning.
"But the chances of it blowing up your iPod are pretty slim. Does say that it's updating the iPod when it's supposed to, but it's hard to tell when I don't allow the laptop to sync to my iPod." He syncs his iPod mini at home. Without further ado, there's going to be a little more involved Apple script in the show notes on the wiki.
And my buddy Michael Hyatt.
Wait. Speaking of the wiki, that was your cue.
Oh. Oh, yeah, wiki. Hey, listen, we've been using the wiki for show notes, and so far it's working pretty good on our end, and it seems like some people are actually using it. But we want to get some feedback to see if y'all are actually getting some, usefulness out of this, or should we just go back to the old way and stick everything in the show notes itself? So,
I like
give
it.
Us some feedback on that.
You like it. If the listener likes it, we're all set.
Yeah, and you know what? These are the actual notes that we build throughout the week till we get to the show. So it's just easy. It's easy enough for us to just cut and paste it into the new wiki. It's all there for you, links and everything. Nothing's really forgotten. And unless I've got to go back and add a link, and then I'll forget.
You can find out what we're ad-libbing and what we're actually reading word for word, or trying to read word for word.
Yeah, we're pulling the curtain off the wizards behind the curtain.
"Pay no attention to that podcaster behind the pop filter.
Hey, it's breezy in here. Hey, put the curtain back."
Sorry.
It's all right.
Well, so anyway, have?
I got
go
an
ahead
email
and read
from
Michael Hyatt.
Welcome to a Japanese theater podcasting.
Walter, when you snatch the microphone from my hand, grasshopper, you will have passed the test.
Anyway, my buddy Michael Hyatt, he sent me an email, and he says that, he goes, "Sup?
Sup?
I have the newest version of WinApp, and I found it that supports podcasts. There is a new feature called Shoutcast Wire. There are category tags. You can click on it to surf the podcast listed. All you have to do is open the media library and choose the Shoutcast Wire on the left.
Library.
You can also subscribe to... I'm sorry, what's that?
Library.
What'd I say?
Library.
Yeah.
Library. Brary.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm pulling an Evo to your Michael.
Yeah, those Xylons. Look, you can also subscribe to podcasts. Thought you'd like to know and pass this along to everybody. Says you may want to try and figure out how to get your show listed. What? We're not on there?
Sounds like an action item to me.
Yeah, let me put that down. All right, that's next on my
list.
Thank
you, Mr. Hyatt.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
We just need more work around here, as if it's not enough fun trying to get three podcasts going and a website revamped. And
I'll tell you what, here's a long-distance dedication. Mike, why don't you actually get us listed on there?
You take care of the listing. We'll take care of the claiming.
Yeah. And we're the talent. That's what they call us in the industry.
Oh, is that what they call us now? And that's mnemonic for what?
I don't know what.
You know, I can't spell talent without first typing Telnet first. It's just one of those things you can't. Darn motor skills. On with the feedback some more. Email okay. From Scott Vaughn. This is a guy I used to work with. I think he wrote me a little while ago. He's just one of these names from the blast from the past that came out of the podosphere and said, "Hey, I heard you on Twit." He's using a Windows machine and wants to know what RSS news readers we would recommend. And the first ones that came to my mind were iPodRx, which is available at www.iPodRx.com, which is going through a name change. They actually have a contest on their main screen. Mm-hmm. To
I submitted mine.
I submitted mine, but I'm not telling you what mine is. In case I win.
Offline, I'll tell you.
First prize is a video iPod, 30 gig. Second mm-hmm. prize is an iPod
Nano.
Nano,
and then a Shuffle.
And then a Shuffle. So there's three right. pretty decent prizes.
And there's some other stuff to go along with it, too, so in each one of those categories.
And you can't use the word pod in the new name, so you can't call it, like, Pod Crapper.
Mm. I called it Big Bit Bucket X.
You didn't.
I didn't. Anyway.
Bit Bucket
I suggested Thunderbird as another RSS reader.
I think that name's already taken.
Oh, the other RSS reader.
Oh, yes. Thunderbird.
And you know something else that I don't have in the list here that I thought about earlier. I know some people that have used RSS Bandit, and they say they liked it all right. The other one that looks great, I have yet to install it, and you know what? I actually will try it tomorrow, is RSS Owl. And you can just Google for that and find it, and I'll see if I can find that.
You could do a product review on our next show.
Yeah, you know what? I may do that because it looks slick. And if you look, they have a version for Windows, OS X, Linux, and whatever. There was another one.
BOS.
Maybe.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
There's also Blog Lines if you want to do
a
web-based thing. Blog Lines is good. Aren't there other similar services out there?
There are several other ones. There's, what's that one? I went on a binge and I signed up for like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, you were preaching them. If you go back to like our May shows, you'll probably hear Craig talking about them.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll run down at least I know Blog Lines. Definitely. That's probably one of the better ones and more flexible.
Easy
great
to use.
API. It's very easy to use. And if you want to do some stuff with it, it's got a great API that you can write hooks, with a PHP code and get some data out of it.
Okay.
I use Gregarious, which is an open source product. You install it yourself,
yep.
And you run it, you maintain it yourself, but it works really well. I've been really happy with that, and that's actually what I've been sticking with lately.
And finally, we've got some voicemail from our friend Kevin Devon over at In the Trenches. He's the host of In the Trenches, and George Starcher, who wrote in earlier, is the co-host, much like Craig and I over here. We were talking about iPods and syncing, and much like that script that Scott wrote us, he followed up on it with a two-part voicemail. Yesterday, he sent in this gem.
Hey, Mr. Tomasi! It's Mr. Kevin Devon! Hey, man, just listening to the cast on my way to work, of course. And I noticed on you guys' rant about the iPod, after downloading the podcast, that it's not synced up to the iPod when you go to pull it out of the dock in the morning, having mm-hmm. to manually do that. The 5G does do that now, by the
really?
Way. At least that's been my experience thus far.
Mm. Well, let me run out.
Wrong. That's quite possible. I've been known to be so before. But I'm pretty sure that lately I haven't had to do that manual update when I'm updating my iPod, so when I pull it in the morning. Anyway, just thought I'd pass that along. I'll double-check that again tomorrow, though, just to make sure that I'm not talking out my you-know-what. So anyway, take care. See ya. Later.
And then part two came up with the follow-up.
Hello, Mr. Tomasi?
Yeah.
Yeah, this me. Hey, just wanted to let you know that I am fucked, dude.
Wait, I got to stop right there and wonder what he really said, because there was a dropout at a most inopportune moment. He said, I just wanted to let you know that I am dude. I think we can keep our G rating at that point.
I hope so.
On with the message.
I think K7 has to be censored.
Now the G5 or the 5G does not automatically sync. Of course, that would be part of iTunes to begin with. That wouldn't be part of the iPod itself. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I am full of do. My last statement yesterday is totally incorrect. So, yep, it's still an issue. All right.
Hey.
See you later.
Maybe he should check into that crafty little script we've got in the wiki. But thanks for checking up on that, Kevin. At least we're not spreading false rumors and sounding like an idiot till next week.
Maybe he should have that dew checked out.
Yeah, he's full of dew. Mountain dew.
I was going to say the same thing.
Funny how that just came to us. Great minds think alike, but simple minds have obvious thoughts. Think about it.
Hey. Oh, well.
And then we've got a follow-up. Mad Marv asked you what?
He asked me what my blog was, because I mentioned it last week, but I never gave the address. Well, I think I mentioned it once before on the show, so I want you to go back to episode 5. I want you to go back to episode 5 and about the 10-minute mark. No. It's spindle.com, spyndle.com. And, you know, I post stuff up there all the time. Lots of stuff we talk about and, you know, just whatever.
Even things that don't make it in the show.
However, I will say this. I'm working really hard at making a change on my blog. So if you want to go subscribe to my blog feed or whatever and give it a shot, give it a once over. I'm looking at, I don't want to give it away just yet, but I'm going to make a big change. And it's not going to be a total blog. It's going to be a something else.
All right. Cool.
I'm working hard at it. Maybe in a couple weeks.
You know what that sound means.
What's that?
It's time for the news.
It's daggum bats.
You hitting them with the Underwood?
Yeah. All right. The first news item is MIT's $100 laptop will run Red Hat. You know, Steve Jobs had offered free copies of OS X to go on it.
That was sweet.
I find that kind of interesting. He offered OS X to a standard x86 machine. You know, something other than a laptop. Even though he was giving away free, you know, that it wasn't tied to any particular hardware. So I thought that was an interesting part of the
No, wait a minute.
Story.
You've got the MIT $100 laptop to run Red Hat. But it'll be available to the general public for how much?
$200.
How can it be $100? What is that, the student discount at MIT?
No. The laptop was made to sell to these underdeveloped countries, poor countries, so all the children can have laptops.
Okay.
So, but it will be available to the general public for $200. I think it's like $100 a country can buy X amount.
Oh, okay.
But you think they would go buy food first?
Yeah, there's that whole discussion about food and clean water. Do they really need laptops, and how are they going to power them? But we're going to stay away from that.
Yeah. Anyway, it is a cool looking laptop. No, don't misunderstand me. It's a cool laptop. It has like minimal moving parts. Has a hand crank to charge it up. We talked about it the other week. Mm-hmm. So folds backwards. You know, away from the keyboard. So you can hold it like a book, do ebooks. And I was like, $200, you know, I'd be willing to pay that to try it out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or let the kids bang on it for a while.
Oh, it's got like six USB ports on it, too. So.
Six USB ports in a laptop?
Yeah, I bet old Philip Tyrone could probably think of some good uses for it.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe the CD-ROM isn't external and the hard drive is external and everything is external. You get this octopus of USB.
There is no CD-ROM. Actually, there's no hard drive. I think it's all flash-based.
Solid state?
Yep.
Which begs a question. This is not in the show notes and wasn't on our outline, but I heard recently that Apple has... what they're purchasing, I'm trying to remember the story, purchasing like $1.25 billion worth of solid-state memory from four or five of the major manufacturers. Like, not Samsung. Who's the big chip manufacturers?
Samsung?
Fujitsu and some of those guys. And the rumor is that they are going to... be installing the operating system. This is a $1.25 billion purchase over the next 3 months. Not 3 years, but they're going to cough up an awful lot of cash over the next 3 months to secure supplies of solid-state memory. And the rumor is that they're going to start developing computers that boot from solid-state rather than boot from the hard drives. So mm-hmm. The hard drive will just be for your apps and data, but the OS and the patches and everything will be solid state, which should make it boot faster and...
Mm-hmm. I could go for that. Hey, I could definitely go for that because, you know, your OS craps out, your data's still there. You don't have to reformat your drive.
Well, it's similar to booting off of, you know, this little thumb drive or a jump drive or something that we've been doing mm-hmm. lately. Only it would be internal. So that'll be interesting to follow, that technology. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. Hang on. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, this is Lance Heath from the Digital Experience Podcast at digitalexperiencepodcast.com, and you're listening to a couple of loose-knit friends, Chuck and Craig, on Technorama.
Did we pay him to say that? Loose-knit friends. I don't know if I like the sound of that.
No, if we paid him, we'd be all tight-knit.
Hang around with Leo Laporte, you become loose-knit, I think.
Hey.
Hey.
We said we weren't going to talk about that.
All right, quick product review. This is on the Mac OS X Desktop Manager. Real original name, I know. I have a link in the show notes to the O'ReillyNet.com site.
Mm-hmm.
Quick little install. Downloads fast. Puts a little virtual desktop on your screen. You can relocate the virtual desktop top, center, right, left, wherever you want it. You can lay out on a grid or linearly. I played around with the configuration a bit. Simple installation, like most Mac programs. You download it, you mount the image, you copy the program off, you're installed. That was about as hard as it goes. Easy keyboard or GUI ways to move and switch between the windows. It's like Command... look at my keyboard. Can't remember. Command, Option, right arrow or left arrow to take you to the virtual screens. You can do Command, Option, O and move, say, your mail off to its own virtual screen real easy.
Oh, wait a minute. So this is like in Linux when you have...
virtual desktops.
The virtual desktop. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virtual desktop. It came defaulted for 4 in a 2x2 grid. I changed it out to 6 in a 1x6 layout and put it down in the middle of the bottom where the dock normally is by default. Well, I have my dock on the left side, so I put this thing down there for a test. It also has like hot edges. If you scroll too far to the right, it'll go over to the next screen on the right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to maneuver, very easy to get around. However, some of the downfalls, Alt-Tab doesn't really know what to do. If you're over on your mail screen, you say, hey, bring up iTunes. Well, iTunes is over on the music screen because you can label these things. It's real easy to, you know, configure that way. It brings iTunes to the foreground over on that other screen, but you don't really get to that other screen. So it'd be really nice to... It doesn't change focus. Right. And Alt-Tab doesn't understand that. Neither does... double-clicking on the dock icon. I'm still a creature of habit, and sometimes I do an Alt-Tab. Sometimes I go up and click the mail icon to bring mail to the foreground. Sometimes I use Expose. It's just a variety of different ways of doing things, and it doesn't really have that integration with the existing functionality of Mac OS X. There is... It it launches a little navigator up in the menu bar next to your clock and, you know, Wi-Fi signal and all that stuff. And in that menu, it will show the virtual desktops. And it's got a Command R from the pull-down menu up there to run an application. So I can say Command R EvoCam. But I don't really find that much use for that when you got stuff like Spotlight and you just hit Command Space. And, you know, who has Tiger and doesn't use Spotlight for a quick application launch or, you know, along with the other things like searching for mail subjects and stuff and whatnot?
I would have had Tiger.
You don't have Tiger?
No.
I thought they came on your Mac Mini.
No, I bought the Mac Mini when it came out in February.
So, oh, okay. No. Wow. Well, you know what? They're probably only a couple months away from another release of something.
Well, you know, Steve told me he'd send me a copy, but you know how that goes.
Well, tell him we'll do a product review on our podcast a year after it comes out.
Yeah, I'll let Mr. Jobs know that.
But you know what? For free, I'm not complaining. It's a nice little utility. If you are on Panther, you might want to check it out because you don't have Expo or Spotlight. So maybe the Command R thing will do you more use. All right, we are going to do the first part of what may be two parts, if I ever get around to assembling the second one, of our talk with the Pulse Crescent photographer. This is about 5.5 minutes long, so we will be right back after this.
EOS 1D Mark IIs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Anyway, we went Nikon for a while. We used to have all Canon gear, and we used to get a camera allowance when we were film cameras. And they, you know, they'd pay us whatever it was, $90 a paycheck, and we'd buy our own equipment, except for the big lenses, the big $10,000. You know, we got to go shoot the Packers game lenses. And a few years back, Canon didn't have a comparable professional quality SLR out on the market.
Mm-hmm.
They were still doing the They had a thing going with Kodak where they had the DCS-5 and the DCS-3 and that kind of thing, and they were really slow and really grainy. And pretty much everybody in the state, AP, the Journal Sentinel, us, we all went digital, and Nikon was the thing to buy then, and we bought them. When Canon came out, we invited the Canon rep to come down and bring us some cameras, and me and Dan and a couple others took them out and just tried to make them
better. You're sold.
Yeah, and we were like, man, these things are just like our film cameras, except there's a few more dials and switches, but I mean, my finger's nowhere to go. One of the problems we had with the Nikon was color temperature balance. Like, you guys have tungsten lights in here. If I was going to shoot without a flash, I'd want to shoot on a tungsten setting, obviously, so that it would keep your skin color the way it should be. These cameras are real forgiving if I get it a little bit wrong. Well, they also have a Kelvin scale, so I can adjust it infinitely for whatever I want. These are a lot better in mixed light. We shoot a lot in classrooms, and if you're in a classroom with fluorescent lights, which are generally greenish or yellowish,
yep.
You've got daylight coming through the windows. If you shoot on fluorescent, you get too close to the window, your subject's going to be bluish.
Mm-hmm.
If you shoot on daylight and you shoot too far into the room, your subject's going to be yellow.
How much of that is controlled at shoot time, and how much is taken care of later editing on a computer?
The majority of it's controlled at shoot time. That's one of the things about digital cameras that's different from film cameras. Film had a latitude of exposure between, you know, black and white was like 7 stops. I mean, you could be way off on your exposure and it'd still be fixed. And color film was the same way. Digital cameras are a lot like shooting slide film. If you mess it up, it's, you know, something's going to be blown out, something's going to be underexposed. You can fix it to some degree, but the big thing is blowing stuff out. Like, if I got your shirt was real hot in my photo, it's not going to work. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. I can gray it down so that it doesn't glare as much, but you're not going to get that detail back.
This white, should I can
no,
change
no,
real
no,
quick
you're
if
actually,
that's a problem.
No, you're fine. There's not a problem with it at all. It's just that if you do overexpose with slide film, it's non-recoverable. If you overexpose a little bit with color negative film, you can fix it.
Okay.
And so I guess these are just really unforgiving. A lot of people who, I guess, got lazy shooting color film because you could, I mean, I could go shoot the marathon and without too much worry, I could shoot, and then lay down and point my camera skyward and, you know, be sure that I was still going to have everybody properly exposed. With this, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get silhouettes. And once you do that, you know,
yeah. How many megapixels on that unit?
All the time, I have no clue.
I'm guessing it's at least 5.
I know our file size. No, it's probably more than that. Our file sizes are 23.4 megabytes per photo.
You're shooting just, like a RAW fine. Format.
No, that's fine. If it was RAW, okay. It'd be even bigger. I mean, they're huge. Everything else is pretty much the same. It'll shoot at about 8 frames a second. If I needed to, obviously, we're not going to do that here.
So you get back to the office, you take the card out, and you put it in a reader?
Mm-hmm. And just edit it that way. Go through and click. And I can click stuff on here. I can tag things so that if I accidentally delete my whole card, which I've done before, I'm saved. I got a few left, and I can go, oh, I still got this. And one of the nice things about the Canon is they have this image stabilizer thing.
Right on the lens.
What this does is that essentially... The rule of thumb used to be that you can shoot at the speed of your film.
Mm-hmm.
So in good light, you could shoot at 400th of a second at ISO 400 film. But below that, you started to get camera shake.
Right, right.
So this thing, I can hold this thing at a 40th of a second without a monopod or anything.
Wow.
And a 40th of a second is really slow. Like tonight, I had to shoot the Waiwega Fremont volleyball team, and their fans were... waving, doing all this, jumping up and down. And what I did was, I now had it on a monopod, but and it was a bigger lens. I had a big lens on there. But I set it for 25th of a second, which is going to introduce all sorts of motion blur.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody and doing their thing. And then I just put it on the image stabilizer. And I shot them, because there were several people that were filming it. And, several people were still, and I wanted them to be still in the picture so that it doesn't look like a mistake. And then all the wild guys who were bouncing around are all motion blurred and stuff, but you can tell that it's, that it's the movement of the crowd.
Geek Thoughts. My software never has bugs. It just develops random features.
Do you want to get those relatives that are always asking you for help with their PCs off your back so that you can get back to Technorama Podcast? Then send them to me at www.typicalpcuser.com, home of the Typical PC User Podcast. Typical PC User Podcast. Help for the rest of us.
I'm rummaging around the geek library.
I don't see it over here. I don't see it over there.
Found a Flickr public computer crash photo pool.
Yeah. You know, in Flickr, you have different pools where everybody can contribute, via tags.
Yeah.
Tagging your pictures to a certain thing. Well, the other day I stumbled upon the Flickr public computer crash photo pool, and it's some really good ones. Everything from airport monitors to ATM machines.
Well, yeah, our friend Robert Klusterhaus took a couple at the airport, and you've taken mm-hmm. one at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
Were any of them in there?
No, you know what? They weren't, but I'm going to go back and change the...
The tag, so they
add the tag to it because it should show up. Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
Those were good.
Most of them are Windows.
And you know what's funny is there was one. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was like a big Sprint PCS thing, and it had the phone on the billboard, and there's a big screen on the phone.
Yeah,
it's actually a live screen, and it's supposed to show, I guess, something happening on it, but. There's the Windows 2000 logo or login screen partially on it. And there was another one, wide, big screen wrapped around it. It's supposed to show advertising, and it had a big blue screen.
Nice. All right, we're going to have a link in there. I know everybody's going to rush over to the show notes and get that one.
Oh, yeah.
We also have our good buddy Yorga put me onto something. He sent me this message, and it looked kind of like a PGP encryption key, only it wasn't.
Yorga.
And you probably love that one. He said, here, you probably recognize this. And it it looked sort of like software because there were a lot of plus pluses and things in there. It was about four lines and maybe 20, 30 characters each. And I went, what is that? So he pointed me to www.geekcode.com/geek.html. It's a geek code to describe yourself in very cryptic and arcane ways. You know, like a G with parentheses, and inside there is a plus plus. You know, it tells a little bit about your gender preference, and I mean, it's just really weird.
I think it's kind of funny. It last updated March 5th, 1996.
This thing screams for a GUI, a form front end to help you construct the geek code, though, because it's very
GUI?
Manual. Not a GUI. I corrected myself. I said a web form front end. Which is probably one of the simplest programming exercises I've even seen. But it's got a decoder, a form decoder, so you can cut and paste someone else's code and throw it in there and go, oh, you like small animals or something like that.
It's kind of like, what is the single white female type personal ads in the
yeah,
in the
exactly.
Paper?
When you read the person, or an auto ad where it says ACPSPB, you know, that kind of thing.
SWF, and we're not talking about your standing wave ratio.
All right, tell me about this robot oil painting thing you found.
Yes, I stumbled upon this guy. His name's Eric Joyner. He does oil paintings, and I was particularly taken to these because they're actually like tin robots. You know, the old tin robots, like you wind up and they'd and they'd walk across the table or something. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, he has a bunch of them. Some of them they look like. Yeah, as soon as you look at them, you'll be like, oh, yeah, these are totally like something I'd had or seen, you know, my dad would have had as a kid.
Well, the first one I spotted was like the Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yes, and he's like, they're in a boxing ring, and they're actually, he's knocking one of them out. The robots are all in little situations. I say kind of surreal, real-life type pictures. Really cool. The guy was really nice. I emailed him and talked to him for, you know, exchanged a couple emails. So go check it out. He does have prints for sale. I think they're like around...
Prince? The guy who sings like Purple Rain?
Not Prince. Prince.
So, yeah, Prince.
Purple Rain!
Someday my prince will come. Anyway.
Yeah, moving right along.
There will be no singing on this show.
But go check out Eric Joyner's. Like I said, he's got prints for sale. And, you know, go... hook them up.
Lest those audio clips end up in Retrofit.
Yeah, we'll be sure to cut those out.
You know what? I'm supposed to have a thing in here about Guido from Podcast Alley, but you know what? I didn't line that clip up for some reason. So we're just going to beg you right now, since it's the beginning of December.
Lazy.
This is Guido. I want you to go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Technorama. We need your vote.
Yes, sir.
Because it'd be a terrible thing if anything were to happen to that pretty little iPod of yours.
It goes something like that. I'm sure those of you who heard the show for a while know what I'm talking about. And I'll probably slip it in again on Wednesday. It'll either be Guido or Angelo.
Well, you know what? I want to throw in here, and we've talked about this before. If you like our show... tell two friends and have them subscribe.
Wait, you're assuming geeks have friends.
Hey, our listeners have friends.
Email or chat room a couple of people you think are your friends. Tell them about Technorama. They will thank you for it.
Yeah, that's what you should give them, the gift of podcasting this Christmas.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Introduce some people to podcasts this Christmas. You know there are a ton of people getting iPods, and you know they're not going to fill it up originally with music, because nobody ever has enough CDs and things to fill up a whole iPod or other MP3 player. So introduce them to the wonderful world of podcasting
and Technorama.
Send them the link to Technorama and tell them to subscribe, because there's a new thing out there called podfeed.net. And everybody is suddenly open disclosure about all of their feed numbers. And you know what? I got kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling, because we're right up there with some of the bigger boys. And I'm very happy about that. And now that we have a critical mass, I'd like to see it spread even further. So you, the listener, are an apostle of this show. Go forth and spread the good news.
We're either with the big boys or they're down with us.
They're down with us.
Yeah, yo, yo. What's up, homie?
We all suck worse than we thought we did.
Yeah. Podcasting isn't really taking off like we thought.
What the heck are we doing? All right, give them that worm contact goodness stuff.
All right, brace yourselves. Here we go. You can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Or you can email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. Or you can visit my blog at spindle with a Y, spyndle.com. And also visit our website, chuckchat.com, with links to the forums, Fitz, Prince, and Tech, our Swagger webcams, and all that good stuff in our show notes.
And a binary high five.
One's a one.
Wake up if you're asleep!